Okay, Shabbat Shalom. And Hasameach. What a wonderful feast we're having. Beautiful, peaceful, and just wonderful to be here with everybody. I have a message today I'd like to give. It is the Shabbat. And this message is called Return to the House or the Family of the Covenant. Return to the House or the Family of the Covenant. And not always. I mean, people come to faith for all different kinds of reasons. But most of the time, and probably more than half of the time, the Sabbath is usually the first thing that brings somebody to the truth. You know, that they're studying in Scripture and they see the Sabbath, or Yahweh opens their mind to the Sabbath. And then they start keeping the Sabbath. And that's really where real change will happen. Because the Sabbath is called the test commandment. Because think about it. If Yahweh is convicting you in certain ways, maybe on lying or stealing or adultery or anything, there's so many different aspects to every sin that people really don't see. So somebody that had left their spouse and married another, they might not see that they're living in adultery. You know, although technically, or not technically, but, well, technically from the Bible, they are living in adultery. But with the Sabbath commandment is very plain. You're either working or you're worshiping. It's one or the other. And that's why usually Yahweh will not really convict a person to that next step in their calling unless they step out for the Sabbath day. We've known people through the years. I've known many, many hundreds of people through the years that have lost jobs, sometimes even family, so many things over the Sabbath day, because it's something you're physically doing. And I really want to go over that today, what that means, the Sabbath covenant, as far as the name of the message, Return to the House or the Family of the Covenant. If we go to Genesis 1:31, and Elohim saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, day six. And the heavens and the earth were finished and all their hosts. And on the seventh day, Elohim completed his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because he rested from all his work on it which Elohim had created to make. So here it is. When we look at the Sabbath from creation, it's literally part of creation, right? And on the seventh day, Elohim completed his work which he had made. And on the seventh day, Elohim completed his work which he had made and rested on the seventh day. So literally, by the act of resting was the completion of creation. Creation was not completed until the act of resting, and that created the Sabbath day. And that's why when people tell me that the Sabbath is in their heart, or that Yeshua is the Sabbath, or all these crazy things that they come up with, I try to ask them, explain that to me. The Sabbath is a thing, like the sun, the moon, and the stars. The Sabbath is a noun. It's a day. What do you mean that it's in your heart? How is the day in your heart? You know, it's these analogies that make no sense when we realize, no, this is something that was created. Today is the seventh day. It's the Sabbath day. It's been there from creation. And why was it created? Because Elohim saw that everything he made, and behold, it was good. Wow. We're living in a world where there's more evil than good in these days. And yet at creation, and we've been blessed to see some creation videos. Thank Yahweh that in the day we're living in today, there's many, many things that as science is learning more and doing more, that they're coming out and showing the magnificent part of Yahweh's creation. And the more that they're studying, the more that even scientists, from what I read, are coming to believe in Yahweh, because they're just in awe of what they're finding out there. And all the elements that would have to go together by chance to make this little marble that we call planet Earth, you know, work. So every single thing that Yahweh made was good, and that's why he set this apart from creation, that his creation, every seventh day, would honor him for the wonderful, beautiful creation that he gave us. That's simply what it's about. There's no more to it than that, you know? So why? Why would people fight it? Why would Christians fight it? Why would people that supposedly believe in the Bible, why would they, when you tell them that you're a Sabbath keeper, why would they try to make it sound like you're putting yourself in bondage, you're putting yourself under the law, all this crazy stuff? But all we're trying to do is thank Yahweh and worship him for the wonderful, awesome creation. I know when I was first becoming a believer, and I was coming from the world, I had my own business, there was weeks I was working 70 and 80 hours a week, you know, so when the Sabbath came, I loved it. I loved it that I could shut off the phone, I could lock my door, I could literally for 24 hours, I could read magazines and read the Bible, you know, and all these the things, and learn about Yahweh and fellowship with the brethren, and I loved it. And when people would try to say, I'm putting myself in bondage, I'd say, well, I'm working 70 or 80 hours a week. You mean you'd rather have me work another 10? That's not bondage? No. Being a Sabbath keeper is far from bondage. And we talked, you know, I talked the other day about Yeshua, behold the man. And I said the reason why technically Yeshua could sin, he could choose to sin, but why Satan could never trick him to sin, because sin is nothing but a deception. I say the same thing now. Once you get the mind of Yahweh with things, if you really have the mind of Yahweh, you can't be deceived. There's nobody on this earth that can deceive me when it comes to the Sabbath day. I've lived it for 35 years. I've seen the blessings of my life. I understand it from top to bottom. It doesn't matter who it is. There is not a person on this earth that can deceive me to say that the Sabbath's done away with, or this or that. It really doesn't make a difference anyway, because I'm worshiping my Creator. I've benefited by it more than I can ever imagine in my life. And I think any other of the Ten Commandments, or maybe every 613 laws of the Torah, I don't think I've been benefited more in my life than one than the Sabbath day. And I absolutely love it. It's just a day that, wow, I think to myself, although we do have annual Sabbath days, what if the Sabbath was only annual? What if, you know, instead of every seventh day, it was only once a year? Or maybe once every seventh year, like the Shemitah, right? But we are so blessed that Yahweh allows us every seventh day to enter his rest and get into that. So today I want to talk about the meaning of it to us as believers. Genesis chapter 3. Starting in verse 1, and the serpent was cunning above every beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, is it so that Yahweh, that Elohim has said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, Elohim has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, surely you shall not die. For Elohim knows that in the day you eat of it, even your eyes will be open, and you shall be as Elohim, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise. And she took of its fruit and ate, and she gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And here we are today, right? That Yahweh created human beings in his image to grow in his likeness. You know, like I said, Adam didn't lose a religion, he lost a kingdom. He's colonizing the earth. We really don't know all to the extent what Yahweh's plan was on the earth if this didn't happen over here. We don't really understand after the millennium everything that Yahweh will be doing. But one thing we know is that everything he did was good. We know whatever it is, it's not going to be bad, it's not going to be sinful, it's not going to be evil. And we do see a shadow. The Bible tells us we look, you know, through things like a glass half darkened. And yet, even in that shadow, we can see the beauty of flowers and colors and creation and birds, the different birds. He didn't make one bird, he made thousands of birds. And if you see like toucans in some of these that have all these pastel colors and the beauty of them, and everything he created was for our benefit. He wanted us to not only see things from that one standpoint of black and white, he wanted us to see life in color. He wanted us to live it. And that's what it says. Yeshua came to give life and give it more abundantly. He didn't come so we're miserable. What makes this world miserable is mankind's rejection of Yahweh. And it starts at the Sabbath day. Because all the Sabbath day does, all the Sabbath day does is admit who Yahweh is. It's just admitting Him as Creator and taking the one day in seven as He did to enter His rest. So why would Christianity, why would all of these people want to fight that? Because they have a rebellious spirit. Because they don't want to surrender their free will to Yahweh. They don't want to enter His rest. And that's why Satan will use people who also are Sabbath keepers, but not entering Yahweh's rest. I've had someone tell me one time, I gave a message years and years ago when we were still living in the United States. And I was saying in that message, it doesn't matter if your house is getting foreclosed. It doesn't matter what's happening at work. That you can literally, during the Sabbath, as sunset comes on Friday, you could forget everything for 24 hours and be in total peace. And a man came up to me and he said, that's not true, that's impossible. And I said, maybe for you, because you're not entering Yahweh's rest. But I know not for me, because I went through a hard time in my life. I went through a time of a baptism of fire in my life, where I went through bankruptcy, and I went through struggles. And I know when that Friday sunset came, I did forget everything. I let it all go, and I enjoyed every last second of that Sabbath. And I remember as the Sabbath would end every week, and I'd be on my hands and knees and praying to Yahweh, and there'd be tears coming down my eyes. Because I knew I had to go back to Satan's world for another week. But that's, He gives us this blessing that every seventh day, no matter what you're doing, it doesn't matter. You could have jobs that are very valid. Maybe you're a doctor or a fireman or whatever it is. But He wants you to cease from your work on the seventh day. And I've heard people say, well, you know, a fireman or a doctor, whatever, they're allowed to work on Shabbat. No, they're not. No, they're not. I would hope everybody's doing some kind of good work. You know, every one of us, whatever we're doing in the world, we shouldn't just be going out there and working for 40, 50 hours a week just to gain money. Everything you do, do to the glory of Yahweh. So all of us should be doing something valid. Maybe we're not all doctors and firemen, but everything we're doing should be valid. But when sunset comes on Friday, it doesn't matter what valid thing you're doing those 6 days. You cease from your work and you enter Yahweh's rest. I know people that on Shabbat, some even in the Sacred Name movement, they go to hospitals and they go over here. You got 6 days to do that, right? It's wonderful. It's great to go visit people in the hospital. But the seventh day is a day that Yahweh's calling you to Him. That's His day. It's not your day. It's not for you to choose what kind of good work you want to do. It's a day that He's calling you out so you could hear His voice. And it's really interesting because I told you that not everybody, but the vast majority of people that come to truth, the Sabbath is the first thing that brings them into the truth. On the other end, for people who fall away, not everybody, but many, many, more than half, the Sabbath is the first thing that starts people falling away. They start compromising. They start maybe doing some dishes. They start maybe cooking. They start violating it in little ways. They stop coming to services. They stop meeting with the brethren. And then the next thing you know, they're gone. And that's why this is an important commandment, because your salvation depends on this. You'll see. There is... I don't know if there's another commandment that actually is also a covenant in itself, like the Sabbath day. So it's extremely important, you know. And as we read in Genesis 3, what started all this was mankind's rejection of this gift. And that's really what it is. The Sabbath is a gift to mankind. It's a gift because we don't know what spirit is. We can't understand how Yahweh is. And anybody that tries to is out of his mind. We can't even begin to concept who or what Yahweh is. We know a little bit. We know through a glass half darkened. But the Sabbath is His gift to help us understand every time you enter His rest, you should understand Him a little bit more. Because we're denying ourselves. You have to deny yourself to enter His rest. Or all you're doing, you know, I know people that all they do is sleep on Sabbath. That's great. Maybe you're getting physical rest to your body, which is part of Shabbat. But you're not entering His spiritual rest. The spiritual rest of Yahweh is every single seventh day. Your mind can grow and become more in His character if you surrender to it. Romans 1 and verse 18. And like I said, at creation, this was the gift that Yahweh was given to every single person that that would be born. But mankind rejected that. So what did Yahweh do? He turned it around, and now it's a sign of coming back to his family. Where at first it was a gift to humanity, now it's a sign of coming back to the family of Yahweh. Romans 1 and verse 18. It says, "For the wrath of Elohim from heaven is revealed against all the iniquity and wickedness of men who unjustly suppress the truth. Because the thing known of Elohim is clearly known within them, for Yahweh revealed it to them. For from the foundations of the world," right, creation, "the invisible things of Elohim are clearly seen and understood in the things he created, even his eternal power and divinity, so that they may be without excuse." And I say, there is really no such thing in this world as an atheist. There's no human being that is that ignorant or stupid. What you have is people who don't want accountability to Yahweh, so they try to say he doesn't exist. But in his creation proves there has to be a creator. There's no doubt about it. Because the creation couldn't come into being on itself, and it couldn't sustain itself. So the very creation itself, and that's why I say, wow, you know, years back, science at times used to try to make it sound like they were contradictory to Yahweh, but not these days. Every single thing science is finding these days is only proving creation more and more. "For the foundations of the world, the invisible things of Elohim are clearly seen and understood in the things he created, even his eternal power and divinity, so that they might be without excuse. Because they knew Yahweh, and they did not glorify him and give thanks to him as Elohim, but became vain in their imaginations, and their unwise heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became as fools." Just like we see today, some of the people claiming there is no Elohim or there is no creation. "And they changed the glory of the incorruptible Elohim into a likeness and an image of a corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." You know, just like evolution, right? You know, are you kidding? You got a PhD and you're telling me we come from monkeys? Sir, speak for yourself. You know, come on. It's a joke, you know, because there's not only a missing link with human beings in the evolution theory, it's with everybody. There's a missing link in everybody. He made dogs after their kind. He made horses after their kind. He made cattle after their kind. There is no interconnecting where you see species jumping the DNA count and somehow becoming another species. You know, so if somebody wants to believe that, what are you going to do? But it's absolutely absurd to believe something like that. "Because of this, Elohim gave them up to filthy lusts of their hearts and their bodies to be dishonored among themselves," right? So where does this lead to? When you lose Yahweh's judicial order, and all that is creation. Everything he created in the order. Well, the next thing is, right, you start with evolution, and we're coming from apes or whatever. I think we start out as this little amoeba or whatever their pattern is. But the next thing is now, so now, forget the whole structure that the woman came from the man and became one. And for this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, the woman, the Isha, and become one. And then they have a family, which we've been doing for 6,000 years. But once you get into this evil thing of denying Yahweh and getting into evolution, then the next thing is, the imagination goes to the next step. Men with men, women with women, people with animals, there's no end to it. And we've only just begun. Remember, it's only the last few years that this is normal in the world. If Yahweh allowed it, which I don't think he would, but go another 20, 30, 40 years and you see what this world is. And you would be absolutely appalled, as we even are today. "Who changed the truth of Elohim into the lie," evolution being one of those lies, "and worshipped and served the created thing more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Because of this, Elohim gave them up to dishonorable passions. For even their females changed the natural use of their sex to that contrary to nature. And so also their males forsook the use of females, which is natural, and burned with lust toward one another, male with male. They did what is shameful and received in themselves the just compensation of their error." And people will say, where in the Bible does it say homosexuality is sin? Wow, they must have ripped Romans 1 out. That's only one small place. And as they did not determine within themselves to know Elohim, Yahweh has given them over to a vain mind, a reprobate mind, that they might do what they ought not. Having been filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, iniquity, covetousness, malice, being full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, evil habits, becoming whisperers, slanderers, haters of Elohim, insolent, proud, braggers, inventors of evil things, weak-minded, disobedient to parents, without discernment, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unforgiving, unmerciful. Wow, I hope we're starting to see the importance of the Sabbath day. That's where it starts. Because the Sabbath day is the admittance of Yahweh, His judicial order, that everything was good, and I'm only here to try to follow as Yahweh opens my mind to it. I want to surrender my will to His will so this can happen. And like I said, it's really, really odd, or not really odd, but it's a reality, that the vast majority of people coming to truth, the Sabbath is the first thing that draws them. And when they fall away, the Sabbath is the first thing that they neglect. Because you're neglecting your Creator. Sabbath is a sign of who the Creator is. By rejecting the Sabbath, humanity has reaped the consequences of a world without Yahweh's Torah and His rest from our sinful human nature. And we know, I'll get into it shortly, in the New Testament, it even goes further. Because it shows that it's entering Yahweh's rest through Yeshua is our rest from sin. The sin in our life. Exodus 31 and verse 12. So since mankind rejected Yahweh's Sabbath, and Yahweh gave them over to a reprobate mind, as we saw, and we're living it. We don't have to be convinced of this. There's nobody that can deny it. But I don't know how many people thought, or think to themselves, that much of the evil in this world is because they're rejecting Yahweh's Sabbath. That if people came to the Sabbath, and that's, like I said, once people accept the Sabbath, all the other things fall into line. You know? I don't see Sabbath keepers who usually will keep Christmas and Easter and some of the other pagan things. The Sabbath is usually the thing that turns their mind in obedience to Yahweh, and then the other things seem to fall into place after that. Exodus 31 and verse 12. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, charging them, commanding them, only my Sabbaths you will keep." So we know some people, they have a Sunday Sabbath, you know, which is kind of a misnomer because the word Shabbat literally means, comes from Sheva, from the seventh day, which Sunday is not, unless you change your calendar, which some have. "But only my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you for your generation, to know that I am Yahweh, your sanctifier." So literally, the Sabbath is a sign for all our generations to know that Yahweh is the one who sets us apart. The world keeps Sunday or Friday or maybe Tuesday night, but from Friday sunset, Saturday sunset, is the Sabbath. We're sanctified, we're set apart by it. "And you shall keep the Sabbath." That word literally is to guard it, to protect it. And I'm going to show you from the history of some of our brothers and sisters that have even died for that. Because more than any other commandment of the brethren in the wilderness, it was to keep the Sabbath day. And I say, thank you, not only Yahweh first, but I thank all our brothers and sisters that were in that wilderness, that were willing to give their life, or we wouldn't be here today. If they would have quit, if they would have given in, there would have been no remnant left. And where would we be? But because these people understood the things we're talking about today, praise Yahweh that we're here because of that. "So you shall keep the Sabbath, guard, protect it. For it is holy, kadosh to you. The profaners of it shall surely be executed. For everyone doing work in it, that soul will be cut off from the midst of his people." Very clear. It doesn't say anyone doing dishonorable work or anyone doing, you know, work that is apart from Scripture. Like I said, not even in a perfect world, as a covenant believer, any work we do should be a blessing to Yahweh. I know when I came into the truth, I was in a business with my uncle and my dad in a courier service. And I got out of that business. And there was a brother in the congregation. We talked about, let's go into a business. And we took about 6 months figuring out what business, because we wanted to do something that Yahweh can bless. And we talked about, hey, maybe a daycare, right? There's children, they need, we could teach. And I'm like, no. judicial order says the mother should be caring for the kids. Daycare, although it's honorable and it's needed, it's not Yahweh's way. And we wound up going into a landscaping business. Because you can, every time I'd go to a job and you'd see the grass overgrown or trees overgrown, and you're cutting and you're making it, and you come out of there, every job is beautiful. You're bringing the creation back to Eden, and I loved it. I loved working outside. I loved doing it. But this is the way we have to think about it, that we have to stop our work. Everyone doing work, that soul will be cut off from the midst of his people. Work may be done 6 days, and on the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to Yahweh. Everyone doing work on the Shabbat, HaShabbat, surely will be put to death. And all the sons of Israel will guard the Sabbath to observe and to do the Sabbath for their generations. It is a never-ending covenant. It's literally what brings us to Yahweh, back to Yahweh. And I always talk about word pictures. You know that originally, before Hebrew was a Paleo language, the Paleo Hebrew, and then it got into modern, you know, Babylonian block Hebrew. We had a pictograph language, and the pictures for the word Shabbat is literally to return to the house or the family of the covenant. And that's why I say it's usually the first thing that people will come to, because the Sabbath is the thing that it's a covenant from Yahweh that we're returning to. It is a sign forever between me and the sons of Israel. It's a family thing. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And when people used to tell me, you don't have to keep the Sabbath in the New Testament, I'd say, maybe you don't have to keep the Sabbath because you're not a covenant person. This is a family thing, okay? Don't get involved with me and my dad and my brothers and sisters. You're not a covenant person. You do whatever you want to do. You want to golf? You want to go over here to the mall? I don't really care. But for me, yes, I do have to. And you know what? Whether I had to or not, I'm honored. Because all I know is, Yahweh says every seventh day, he is coming and communing with us, right? So here it is. He's the creator of the universe. And you read here where you see 24 elders around the throne. You see people bowing down 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, saying, holy, holy, holy. You see that there's cherubs that are taking our prayers back and forth from him. And Yahweh's on top of everything. Every earthquake, every storm, every war, every single thing going on in the world, Yahweh is right there. Nothing is happening before his eyes. And yet, Friday sunset, he enters his rest. He puts the cherubs, okay, Gabriel, you take over, you know, whatever. Mikhail, you take over. I got to go see my kids. I got a day with them. And I say, if you had parents, you know, we just had this happen here. One of the people left us early because it was their parents, I don't know, 60th anniversary or something. He said, I need to be with my parents to honor my parents. And if your parents were being honored that way, that it was their 60th anniversary, or the community was honoring them for being so great, how do you think they would feel, you as their child, if you didn't show up? How do you think they'd feel? It wouldn't be the same thing. Because when something happens, like it says in Scripture, when something good happens, it happens to all of us. When something bad happens, we're one body. And this is what's happening with Yahweh, that Yahweh is entering the rest with us. And that's why I say it doesn't matter what you're doing. Hopefully we're always doing something good. It's just, if I look at it and say, if Yahweh can put the universe aside for 24 hours, then so can I. I can put aside any little thing I'm doing, because I'm certainly not running the universe. But the little bit I am doing, I can certainly put it aside, because that's what he says. He wants us to enter his rest. And like I said, the word picture for the Sabbath, to return to the house of the family of the covenant. And I don't know why some people can't see that Yahweh is a family. I've had people, we've talked about this, and it's strange how people come right up to me and they say, I know that you say Yahweh is a family, but I just don't see it. And I say, no, 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 I don't say Yahweh is a family. Yahweh says it. He calls himself a father. Yeshua is the son. Yeshua calls us brothers and sisters. If that's not a family, what's a family then? What on earth is a family? Of course it's a family, you know? And literally, this is returning to the house of the family of the covenant. So Yahweh is a family, and that's what the whole kingdom is about. The kingdom, when you look at Israel, Israel was not just a nation. They were a family. You know, it starts out with Abraham, one man. And Abraham and Sarah had Yitzhak, you know. And then that family goes from that child to the next child, to Yaakov. And then Yaakov has the 12 sons of Israel. And they have other people. It's a family. It's a family thing. And in the kingdom, it's going to be a family. So in this day and age, I understand why people can't understand it. That's the same way they can't understand the oneness of Yahweh and Yeshua. They can't understand how two beings can be completely separate, both have free will, and yet never, ever, ever go against each other. To think the same way, have the same goals and aspirations, because they don't think that way. Because human beings aren't that way. Human beings are selfish, they're self-centered, they're prideful, they're self-righteous. But by seeing that Yahweh the Father and Yeshua the Son are not like that, that should help us to change. And Yahweh is a family, and the Sabbath is everything about family. It's a family day. It's a family reunion, you know, every seventh day. By obeying and keeping the Sabbath, it shows man's submission to Yahweh and Yahweh's rule over the universe. Hebrews 4 in verse 3. Hebrews 4 in verse 3. It says, for we who have believed will enter into the rest, even as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they, the Israelites, shall not enter into my rest. For behold, the words of Elohim were from the very foundation of the world. So again, he's showing the Sabbath day, entering Yahweh's rest, meaning his millennial kingdom, going back to creation. What is he saying? That the Israelites are not going to be in his kingdom. Entering this physical promised land was a type of the millennium. It was a type of that. And that's what Yahweh was bringing them here for. And they failed miserably. And then Yahweh said, because they blasphemed. They committed the unpardonable sin. They saw the miracles. They knew it. And still they did not believe. And he said, you will not enter my rest. And that's scary, as we're going to see here. Because there's a concern for us with that. For he has spoken concerning the Sabbath. And Elohim rested from all his works on the seventh day. And here again he said, they shall not enter my rest. There was a chance for some to enter it, right, when they came out of Egypt. But they to whom the good news was first preached did not enter on account of disobedience. And the Bible tells us the good news went to the Israelites the same as it came to us. But we're going to see why they didn't enter his rest. He again marks out a certain day, saying in David, today after a long time, according as it has been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Yehoshua the son of Nun had given them rest, then would he have afterward spoken about another day? It is therefore the duty of the people of Elohim to keep the Sabbath. For he who has entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works as Elohim did from his. So that's why I said, it's not a matter of just ceasing from works that may not seem important. It's ceasing from all works, whatever our work is. On the seventh day, we cease the same way that Yahweh ceases. Therefore, let us strive to enter into that rest, that not let anyone fall in the same example of disobedience. For the word of Yahweh is living and powerfully working and sharper than every two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of both soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow and bones, and able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And that's why when we're first called, when we're first convicted, the word of Yahweh comes like that to a sword to us. And then sometimes people that are on thorny ground or rocky ground, it doesn't stick. And they turn back. But if you go back in chapter 3 and verse 18. And to whom did he swear they would not enter his rest except those not obeying? So we see that they were not able to enter in because of unbelief. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, let us fear, lest while the promise of entering into his rest remains, lest some among you find you are falling short from entering. For indeed, we have heard the good news preached to us, even as they also, but the word did not profit those hearing it, not having been mixed with faith in the ones who heard. Wow. So it shows you, without faith, you're not going to enter. Because, you know, the things of Yahweh are invisible. You don't see faith. You know, we don't see him as a spirit, but certainly we have to believe. And if you don't believe, you're not going to risk losing your job, right? All of a sudden, someone reads the Bible and they say, hey, you know what? Yeah, of course, Saturday's the Sabbath. Of course, this is pagan, this is this. Now it gets to the point, though, that they go into their worker and they say, their boss, you know, I need off on Saturday. And the boss says, no way. You know, you've been working here 10 years. You're not getting off on Saturday. And now they're going to make a decision. I've had somebody tell me that. I'm making $150,000 a year. I'm not giving that job up. That's the decision we have to make. What is it if a man gains the world and loses his soul? You know, it doesn't matter how much money you're making. It's going to come and go, and you're going to die, and you're going to be laying in that grave just like King David and King Solomon and everybody else. What matters is what you do in these few short years that you're on the earth. And I know I'm not going to lose my salvation over mammon that's going to perish. But that's what it came down to. They didn't have the faith because of a spirit of unbelief. And I can understand it. You're not going to give away a $150,000 job over a hope. You better have faith. You better know that it's true, or you're not going to do it. And more important, to keep the Sabbath in the new covenant, like it says here, therefore it is the duty of the people of Elohim, the congregation of Elohim, to keep the Sabbath. Because we know it's not just about entering the rest of the millennium, but it's entering into His kingdom forever. It's about our rest from sin through the blood of Messiah. And that's why Mark 2 and verse 23 says, and it happened, he went along through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples began to make way, plucking the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, behold, why do they do which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day, according to rabbinical law, not according to the Torah? And he said to him, did you never read what David did when he had need and hungered, he and those with him? How he entered the house of Yahweh while Abiathar was the high priest, and he ate the bread of the table of Yahweh, which was not lawful to eat except for the priests. And he again gave to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath came into being for man's sake, not man for the Sabbath's sake. So then the Son of Man is master of the Sabbath also, right? When we come under the blood of Yeshua and we enter covenant relationship, We are having rest in our life from sin, and every seventh day reminds us of the millennial and the time when we're going to shed these mortal bodies and we'll be a glorified spirit body. Leviticus 23, we read it a couple times. I just want to read the first few verses. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, and you shall say to them, the set feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim as holy gatherings, these shall be. These are my, Yahweh's, appointed feasts. Work is to be done 6 days, and on the seventh day shall be a Sabbath of rest, a holy gathering. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to Yahweh in all your dwellings. So the very first holy day is the Sabbath, and the word that's used there is, it is a rehearsal. Every seventh day, we're rehearsing the millennium. And we all know it. There's weeks maybe where you're stronger, and then there's weeks maybe where it's chaotic and you're weaker. You didn't have enough prayer and Bible study. But the Sabbath is a magnet that as long as you're being obedient on the Sabbath, you can never get that far away. Because within 6 days, that magnet's going to pull you back. Can you imagine where we'd be without the Sabbath? Wow. We might go months and months sometimes of working and moving and going with never being able to get that focus back. It is the greatest blessing Yahweh has given his congregation is the Sabbath day, because it forces us. It forces us to never go that far to the right or to the left, as long as we follow it, you know. But what happens, I've seen, like I said, sometimes people, they'll start falling away, and then the next thing you know, maybe they work on the Sabbath once, and then they go off and they do this. And it's always, like I said, the Sabbath, how you're keeping the Sabbath. Like I always say, how convicted you are to the work of Yahweh shows how converted you are. And it's the same with the Sabbath day. How convicted you are to the Sabbath day shows your spiritual condition. It's like a thermometer, right? When you're sick and you take a thermometer, you're going to see if you have a temperature or not. And how fervent you are toward the Sabbath day. Are you looking forward to it? Or are you counting down the hours in the end of it, right? Are you singing and praising because you're happy on the Sabbath? Or are you kind of murmuring there, just waiting to get it over? So it's a thermometer to show your spiritual condition, because it's the greatest part of the week, you know? And it's a blessing that Yahweh gives us. And it's a rehearsal. Every week we're rehearsing for that time when Yeshua comes and we're in the kingdom. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 8. It says, Then he said to his slaves, indeed, the wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Okay, we all know the parable. Yeshua is telling them the kingdom of Yahweh is like a man giving this great feast, and he invites many people, and then the time comes, they send the invitations, and the time is ready to go out, and what happens? The people start making excuses, one by another. I'm getting married, I have animals, you know, I have this to take care of. So what happens? The king says, none of those people are coming to my feast. Go in the highways and byways and call everybody, because my feast is going to be filled. And we're living this. This is what we're living right now. Like I said, the invitations are already went out. And there's many people who were part of organizations like Church of God that totally fell away. You know, and some people that were there 20, 30 years staying fervent with the truth. And because of A, B, or C, whatever it is, they've fallen away. They've given up. They've went back to the world. And it can happen to any of us, right? We're all human beings. So this is scary that we're living this way now. And now it's going to the highways and the byways. You know, I've never seen this in my life before, at least on a personal level, of going somewhere where I've never been in my life and having more than 1,000 people accept the message on one time speaking to them. Having Yahweh pouring His Spirit out, like it says in the book of Joel. And all these brand new people that never came to the truth now are being baptized and coming in, but people that were there 20 and 30 years are falling away. And it's said in one part, but it's part of this prophecy, right? And that's what he says. Then go into the exits of the highways and call to the wedding feast as many as you will find. And verse 11, and the king coming to look over those reclining, he saw a man there, not having been dressed in a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here not having a wedding garment? But he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, binding his hand and feet, take him away and throw him out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called and few are chosen. And, you know, it's not just a matter of showing up. You know, it's a matter of coming to the Sabbath with something to give. Just like the feast days say, three times in the year all males are to appear before Yahweh, and they are not to appear before Him empty. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean money. It's whatever blessing Yahweh has given you, you have to come to bless the congregation. That could be with a beautiful song. It can be with a word of encouragement. It can be with anything, but you better come with something to give, because that's the commandment. And if it is mammon, if you're blessed with mammon and you're coming with mammon, great. But if not, you better come with something. That Yahweh expects this of us. And here it is, right? We see this example. The Bible tells us that we are to worship Yahweh in body and spirit, right? Because we're not spirit. We don't even know what spirit is. And in Pentecostal churches, in some of Christianity, they're playing church. They're thinking by saying la-ta-ta-ta-ta, or falling on the ground and barking like a dog, look, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. No, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's people wanting to work something up. We don't have to work something up because we have the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is allow Yahweh to manifest it in your life. But we have to worship Yahweh in body and spirit. And here it is. You are coming every seventh day to the creator of the universe to come and worship Him. Right? So when we say, not that you have to wear a suit and tie, but you better wear the best you have. Right? If the Prime Minister Netanyahu, if he came today and said, you know, you got a message from someone, the Prime Minister wants to see you. Would you go in flip-flops and ripped jeans? And I've seen it. I've seen people come to services in flip-flops and ripped jeans. You don't appear before the creator of the universe. It's the world we're living in. It's the Laodicean world where people have no respect for authority, period. They have no respect for authority. It's just the way it is. They don't respect, and I can't even begin to think somebody could respect me if they can't respect the creator of the universe. You know, but you see people when they do it. They go on the internet, they come out. I've had them say to my face four-letter words with Yahweh's name at the end. Not using Yahweh, of course, they don't know His name, but cursing. These people are so rebellious, the world we're living in. And we're coming out of that. We're entering His rest. So like I said, it's not a matter of who can look the best, but it is a matter of you looking your best. It's looking your best before Him. You're coming before the creator of the universe. And how could you read this parable and not get that? The man came and didn't have on good clothing, and he got thrown out of the kingdom. And it wasn't because he was poor. Because sometimes people say, well, maybe they can't afford it. Because I can tell you something. I've been around the world. I've been to the poorest nations on earth. I've been to South Sudan, where the people there are refugees. And I can tell you something about Africa. Every single man has a suit, and they wear it every single week to services. And you know it, because some of those men have come here. Some of them wear it all the time. You know, when we've been at the Bible school, and we've gone out, it doesn't matter where we're going. You know, if I tell them we're going out here, they're wearing a suit, because they know they're representing Yahweh. It's the same with myself. There's times I have meetings where they'll say, you know, it's proper dress, suit and ties. There's other times where they'll say, you don't have to. And I'll say, I know I don't have to, but I'm going to wear it. I always wear a suit and tie, no matter where I'm invited to, if I'm a representative of Yahweh, because I want to represent Him with the highest quality I have. Now again, I'm not going out and spending $500 or $1,000 on clothes either. Most of my clothes come from the Salvation Army. But sometimes you can get better clothes there than what you can buy. You know, and I've gotten some real good stuff from the Salvation Army for $2 and $3 and $5. So it's not about money. It's about a mindset of knowing you're coming before the Creator, and I want to look the best I can. I want to shine my shoes. That's another thing in Africa. Wow. Every day. It humbled me, because we'd go through the mud and we'd come in with muddy shoes. We walk in the house. There's one bed in the house. They're giving it to us while everyone's sleeping on the floor on straw. And you wake up in the morning, your shoes are shining like anything. You know, and they're shining your shoes. And they want to. They have such a heart to it. And they say, you know, you're a man of the good news. Look at Romans 10. Blessed are the feet who bring this good news. It's an honor that we could shine your shoes. That's the mindset they have. And we need that mindset. And like I said, it starts with Shabbat, because Shabbat's every seventh day. And if we can't have the honor to Yahweh, how will we ever honor anything else? How will we do it? You know, and that's why I don't ask and I don't look for honor from human beings, because I know what Yeshua said. My sheep hear my voice. If they followed me, they'll follow you. So I don't ask anybody to follow me, because I know if Yeshua's calling them, they're going to automatically do it. And if He's not calling them, so be it. Be on your own, you know. But I know that that's where it's got to start. It's got to start. If we have the proper reverence for Yahweh, then we are automatically going to have the proper reference for the Shabbat. We'll have the proper reference for each other, for everything. But this Shabbat is so important. It's where all of it begins. Mark 2, in verse 1. Mark 2, in verse 1. And it says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was heard he was in the house. And at once many were gathered, so as none any longer had room, not even to the door. And he spoke the word to them, and they came to him carrying a paralytic, being carried by four. And not being able to draw near to him due to the crowd, they unroofed the roof where he was, and digging through, they lowered the cot on which the paralytic was lying. And seeing their faith, Yeshua said to the paralytic, child, your sins are forgiven you. But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this one speak blasphemy this way? Who is able to forgive sins except one Elohim? And instantly knowing in his spirit that they reasoned this way within themselves, Yeshua said to them, why do you reason these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven to you, or to say, rise up and take your cot and walk? But that you may know that it is lawful for the Son of Man to forgive sins on the earth, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise up and take your cot and go to your house. And at once he rose up, and taking his cot, he went out before all, so as all to be astonished and glorified Yahweh, saying, never did we see it this way. And some of the Pharisees would have attacked him because he carried his cot on the Sabbath. You're breaking our law here. But Yeshua is the master of the Sabbath. Yeshua is the freer of bondage. And we don't want to make the Sabbath any more bondage than Yahweh did for us. So it's pretty simple, right? I've been before the rabbis years ago when they called me in and we were talking over the Sabbath day. And the Jews have about 1,000 laws for the Sabbath. And they said to me, well, without these laws in the oral law, how would you know how to keep the Sabbath? I said, very simple. You don't do any of your work, whatever your work is. You cease from your work. You don't seek your own pleasure. And you honor and worship Yahweh. That's all you need. And the rabbi actually said, you know, you're right. Because it really isn't that complicated, you know. So although at one end we don't want to violate it, we also don't want to become Pharisees judging each other for what's happening on that day. Because if we would simply have the mindset of loving Yahweh with all our heart, our mind, and our soul, none of us would violate the Sabbath, and we certainly wouldn't judge each other for it. Luke 13 and verse 10. Luke 13 and verse 10. And he was teaching in the synagogues on one of the Sabbaths. And behold, there was a woman having a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent together and was not able to straighten herself at all. And seeing her, Yeshua called her near and said to her, "Woman, you have been freed from your infirmity." And he laid hands on her, and instantly she straightened herself and glorified Elohim. But answering, being angry that Yeshua healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the crowd, "There are 6 days in which it is right to work. Therefore, coming in these, be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Then the master answered him and said, "Hypocrite! Each one of you on the Sabbath, does he not untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and goes and waters it? And this one being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, ought she not to be freed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And on his saying these things, all who were opposed to him were ashamed, and all the crowd rejoiced over the glorious things taking place for him. So again, the Sabbath is a day of worshiping Yahweh. It's a day of entering his rest, but at the same rate, you know, it's not a day of bondage. It's a day of healing. You see more healings being done on the Sabbath day than any other day. So it's a day of freedom. It's not a day of bondage. Isaiah 56 in verse 1. Isaiah 56, verse 1. And balanced weights are the delight of Yahweh. So there's nothing wrong with doing good on the Sabbath day. But we want to make sure that our focus and our main purpose is toward worship toward Yahweh on that day. Isaiah 56 says, "So says Yahweh, keep justice and do righteousness, for my Yeshua is coming soon and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, keeping the Sabbath from defiling it and keeping his hand from doing every evil. And do not let the son of the foreigner speak, he who joins himself to Yahweh, saying, 'Surely Yahweh separates me from his people.' And do not let the eunuch say, 'Behold, I am a dry tree.' For so says Yahweh to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose things I am pleased with and take hold of my covenant. I will give to them in my house and in my walls a hand and the name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. And the sons of the foreigners who join themselves to Yahweh to serve him and to love the name of Yahweh, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and takes hold of my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mount and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted on my altar, and my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people." And I've been in Sunday congregations where I was blessed to go there and to be able to give a message on the Sabbath and read them this scripture and say, because what happens? Pastors are falsely saying, "Well, no, the Sabbath is only for the Jews. The Sabbath was only for Israel." And right here, Yahweh says, to the Gentile, to the non-Israelite, who does the things pleasing to me and keeps my Sabbath. So, wow, if the Sabbath is pleasing to him, count me in, right? We want to do the things pleasing to him. But he says he will give you a name that's above any name you can get. And he will give you an inheritance, you know, with him forever for keeping this day. So it's for everybody. It's not just for Jews. It's not just for Israelites. And we know in the kingdom it will be kept by everybody. Hebrews the 8th chapter, verse 6. Hebrews 8, verse 6. And this is the new covenant. "But now Yeshua the Messiah has received a ministry which is greater than this. Also by so much more, he is the mediator of a better covenant. And so are the promises greater than the first covenant. For if the first was faultless, there would have been no need for a second." So clearly there's two. "But finding fault with them," the fault was not with the Torah, the fault was with the people's inability to keep the Torah. "For finding fault with them, he said to them, 'Behold, days are coming, says Yahweh, and I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day of my taking hold of their hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant and I rejected them, says Yahweh. Because this is the covenant I will covenant with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my laws in their mind, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people. And they will no more teach each one his neighbor and his brother, saying, Know Yahweh, because all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and I will not at all remember their sins and their lawless deeds. So again, the first covenant is a covenant of cause and effect, right? And they find the person gathering sticks on the Sabbath. They come to Yahweh. What do we do with him? Yahweh says, stone him to death. But the new covenant is about that. The new covenant isn't trying to fear us into obedience. It's that Yahweh is putting his spirit in us, and he's writing it on our hearts, and we should want to do it. We should want to give back 1,000 times more than we're even able to. And like I said, if you give 100% of yourself, we're still only giving less than 1% of what Yahweh's given back to us. But it's a matter of we should want to honor and worship him because of everything he's did for us. Because of everything he's done with the great sacrifice of his son, with Passover, with everything that these days represent to us, we should want to honor him to the highest degree. Because again, remember, in Romans 8 and Romans 12, we are to be living sacrifices, and the people of the world are supposed to see the righteousness of the Torah through our actions. So if we don't love the Sabbath, and if we don't have that love in it for us, how will anybody else ever get it? So it should be written in our hearts. It shouldn't be bondage to any of us. And unfortunately, I hate to have to say it, but around the world, there still are many people who break the Sabbath. You know, there are. I see it in third world nations. I see some of the people that are breaking the Sabbath. I'm shocked at times to even find out sometimes an elder is working on the Sabbath. And it breaks my heart. It really does, because what it shows me is the person doesn't really understand what this is about. You know, it's something that we shouldn't have to be told. And I'll tell you something. When the Church of God broke up, and Church of God was an organization, again, we had thousands of people, but you really were watched. And people did the right thing, but I think a lot of times we did it because we were afraid not to. Nobody wanted to be singled out. Nobody wanted to be separated from the body or kicked out. But when the Church of God fell apart and I was there on my own, for the first time since I became a believer, I really sat there and prayed about it and thought about it. And to say, you know what? Now I'm going to see what I'm made of. Because there's nobody here telling me what to do. There's nobody here watching me. There's nobody checking my cabinets to see if I got, you know, white sugar or whatever else. Now it's up to me. And I'm going to show Yahweh. And I prayed and said, Father, I'm going to do it from the bottom of my heart. Because I want you to see I wasn't just doing it out of fear or because somebody else was browbeating me. I'm doing it because I love you. And it's a way we can check ourselves. And it's a way that we can check ourselves as time goes on to see, you know, why we're doing something. And we should be doing it because we love Yahweh. But if we're doing something only when people are looking at us, and then when people aren't there, you're doing something completely different, that's called a hypocrite. That's an actor. You know, so whether we're here together on Shabbat and we're doing this, or maybe next week if you're by yourself, you should be keeping it with the same holiness and reverence and joy that you're keeping it when you're with the brethren. Because you know what? In one sense, we're all keeping it together no matter where we are. We're one group here, but wherever other people are, somewhere else in the world keeping it, they're keeping it with us. You know, they're with us. We're one body and one spirit. I want to read to you from the congregation in the wilderness. I talked about the importance of the Sabbath throughout antiquity to Yeshua's congregation. And I want to read you some quotes here from that. And this is coming from History of the Ancient Christians in a chapter called Exposition of the Waldenses and Albigenses. And it says, they that keep and observe the Sabbath of Christians, that is to say, sanctify the day of our Master, must be careful of four things. The first is to cease from all earthly and worldly labors. The second is not to sin. The third is not to be idle in regards of good work. And the fourth is to do those things that are for the good and benefit of the soul. Of the first, it was says, 6 days you shall labor and do all that you have labored, but the seventh is the Sabbath of Yahweh thy Elohim. It is though in it thou shalt do no manner of work. And in Exodus it said, keep my Sabbath, for it is holy, and he that pollutes it shall die the death. And in the book of Numbers, we read that one of the children of Israel was seen gathering sticks on the Sabbath. He was brought to Moses, and this man shall die the death. All the people shall stone him with stones, and he shall die. Elohim would that his Sabbath would be kept with such reverence that the children of Israel should not gather manna thereon when it was given to them from heaven. So while even something from heaven wasn't done on that Sabbath day. Many of the church councils that were administered by Rome, such as Nicaea and Laodicea and Carchidon and Phrygia, were specifically meant not only to legislate Sunday worship, but also to restrict Sabbath observance by the true congregation of Yeshua and even kill those that disobeyed. Satan knows that the Sabbath was a sign from creation to distinguish the only true Elohim, whose name is Yahweh, from all the false gods that man would create through antiquity. So it is no surprise that of all the doctrines that the true congregation of Yeshua observed throughout history, which the devil would try to attack, that the Sabbath day would be attacked more than just about any other doctrine or belief. The hieroglyphic word picture for the word Sabbath is to return to the house or the family of the covenant. And it is also no coincidence in these end times that the Sabbath is usually the first thing that an apostate Christian will change and start to observe when coming back to the true original faith of the apostles. And the apostolical constitutions, although not written in apostolic times, they were in existence as early as the 3rd century. They do therefore furnish important historical testimony to the practice of the congregation at that time, and also indicate the great progress that which the apostasy had made. And this is what it says. It says, relying too implicitly on false assurances from the Pope, the Albigenses, part of the true congregation at that time, proposed to hold a public conference with their opponents where the points in dispute might be discussed by an appeal to Scripture to decide doctrine. So they're getting ready with the papacy. They're going to talk about these things, and they're going to show from Scripture why these things are true, and they don't know what's coming. And on condition that the business should be conduct with impartiality and propriety. For the sake of amusing the Albigenses till their own plans were ripe for execution, the Catholic bishops acceded to the proposal, and the conference took place in the year 1206 near Carcassonne. But while the parties were engaged in dispute, the army of the Crusaders advanced and decided the controversy according to the custom of the Roman Church by killing and slaughtering of an immense number of these unsuspected people, our brethren. By fire, by sword, by prison, in every imaginable form of persecution and death, the Roman apostate sought to destroy the people of Elohim, but the more she persecuted, the more she slew, the greater the congregation. The stronger her people became, until Rome at last threw all her strength against the unyielding people of the Most High. Rome's endeavors to stamp out the truth and the constancy of the saints of this age are ably summed up by the historian Wiley in these words. Rome saw that she was making no progress in the extermination of a heresy which had found a seat amid these hills as firm as it was ancient. The number of the Waldenses were not thinned. Their constancies were not shaken. They still refused to enter the Roman Church, and they met all the edicts and inquisitors, all the torturings and burnings of their great persecutors, with a resistance as unyielding as that offered by their rocks to the tempests and hail and snow which the whirlwinds of winter hurled against them. They stayed faithful until even death of Yahweh's sanctified Sabbath day. Wow. We should be thankful that today most of us don't have to give our life for the Sabbath day. We're living in lands where we can freely worship Yahweh. And so many people don't come to services sometimes because it's 20 minutes away or it's a half an hour walk. And these people are forefathers. They died for this. They were willing to die, not compromising an ounce, because they knew that there was something greater than them. They were ready to die for the next generation. And what are we ready to do? This is the importance of Yahweh's Sabbath. I want to go into one more scripture before we end. Isaiah 66. Actually, I'm going to go into two scriptures. Isaiah 66 and verse 22. Isaiah 66 and verse 22. about a day that's just ahead of us, not far down the line. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I make stand before me, declares Yahweh, so your seed and your name shall stand. And it will be from new moon to new moon, and from Sabbath to its Sabbath, all flesh will come to worship before me, says Yahweh. And they will go out and see the dead bodies of the men who have rebelled against me, for their worm shall not die, nor shall their fire be put out, and they shall be an object of disgust to all. Wow. You know, this was one of the first scriptures that came up to me about the Sabbath day that people showed. Well, if the Sabbath day was during Israel, and the Sabbath day is in the millennium that's right around the corner here, why wouldn't we be keeping this? And every time I would go to services, you know, from the minute I walked out of my house to the minute I got to the meeting place, and you'd see everything. You'd see people in shopping centers. You'd see people on golf courses. You'd see people running to and fro. I would always think of this scripture, that when Yeshua is here and the kingdom is here, every last person that will be on that earth will be worshiping him. Every last person. No longer will you be going out on Shabbat and people are doing whatever. Wherever they're going, wherever they're walking, they're going to be walking toward worship of Yeshua. And we were the embryo. He has set us here as his congregation, as his first fruits, as his remnant. Tomorrow's the Feast of First Fruits. And he's called us to be a type of that, to represent him. So we want to make sure that we realize we're in embryo with this. We're called out of darkness of the world to the light of Yahweh. Remember, only because brethren before you gave their very life to bring the Sabbath and over these biblical truths are you a believer today. Don't you owe it to the next generation to do the same? If you compromise and break the Sabbath, what would the next generation have to preserve? The last thing I just want to say for a minute, though, is there's the scripture in Luke 13 that says if your ox falls into the ditch on the Sabbath day, it's permissible to pull it out. And that's very true. You know, even though it's the Sabbath day, if somebody out here was hurt, if our neighbor's house was burning, to save life takes greater precedent at that moment. But the other thing I say, yes, if your ox falls into the ditch, it's permissible to take it out, but don't push the ox in the ditch. That happens a lot of times. People are pushing the ox in to take it out. We don't want to do that. So truly, as the word picture says, the Sabbath is returning to the house or the covenant of the family. Praise Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom.